Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan because of the subject matter for this one. It is strictly, he and I go back and forth about this very subject, at least what we're going to start the show with, almost every day. Probably every day, right, Harrison?
Close to it, at the very least. I mean, I try not to message you my media tirades on the weekends, like when you're off, or, yeah. You know, normally not on my days off, but you decided to call me in on my day off this time. So, you know, we'll make an exception this time.
Well, I figured it was like the rare occasion where I was actually going to talk about this on the show. So, like, you finally get to give that tirade on the air.
Love it. Definitely don't see myself walking into any hot water here.
Today's topic, at least what we're going to start the show with, it has to do with what we call media literacy or news literacy, where basically it's the ability to take in information and various reports and headlines and stuff like that and understand the differences in reporting and analysis and all that stuff. Harrison's going to explain it a little bit better here in a bit. But that's where we're going to start the show. From there, we're going to go into the latest on this Anthony Davis trade, where things currently sit. As of right now, if this was the only source for your news, one, I'm sorry. Two, we left things off with Eric kind of explaining the differences in the various scenarios and iterations and incarnations of this current trade. We're going to update where things currently sit. Things have kind of sort of changed, not all that much, but just kind of. And then finally, we are going to take a trip around the news, have a little bit of fun. There have been some fun headlines, at least one really fun headline that we're going to have a little bit of fun with. So, fun show ahead of us. I said fun like four times in the last 30 seconds.
Now, this is going to be fun.
Oh, God.
You're getting ready for it. You're getting ready. Once the Lakers sign a max guy, no way any of this ever goes wrong again.
I'm getting an email right now from David saying that our show is canceled.
They can restage the Sports Illustrated cover with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then like the third star standing between them.
Oh, good. You're giving him a third star too. This jinx job's off to a great start.
Now, this is going to be really fun for real this time. No way this goes badly. That's the headline for Sports Illustrated cover.
Dodgers fans are going to remember the Justin Turner. Did you ever see that one? The cover page that they had of that one was like best team ever.
Oh, I do remember that. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, assholes. All right, so we are we're going to
for just calling an entire media outlet.
Speaking of media, we're going to start here with the media literacy or news literacy, however you want to define it. Basically, Harrison and I, our job at Silver Screen and Roll is to go out there, find what we consider news, repackage it, repurpose it, contextualize it as best we possibly can, and then throw it out there to you so that you find all your information in one consistent platform, right? That's the purpose of Silver Screen and Roll. And then, you know, to a lesser extent, we do it here, where at the end of every day or at the beginning of every day, depending on when you listen to the show, you understand on a daily basis, okay, this is where the Lakers currently stand. Again, less so because I'm not as good at my job as the entire staff is at Silver Screen and Roll, right? But the problem is, though, in doing this sometimes, what we consider news or what we consider a report, that doesn't always carry over to Twitter, right? A website,
especially if it's something that does not sound good.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that Twitter has made us exponentially worse at nuance over the course of its existence than we've ever been in the course of our lifetimes.
Twitter and a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
There are great things that have come about from the internet, but and social media, but our brains were not ready for it.
And so what it's kind of created is this environment where you can pick and choose what you consider news. You can also decide which objective facts are actually facts. You can,
and then there are alternative facts.
Yeah, you can roll all the way through all of these things, right? And what it creates is this reality that is a distorted, not quite reality. And it's kind of like the line that I always kind of go back to in Game of Thrones that Jon Snow said when he was getting chastised for not wanting to lie. He said, eventually, if enough people lie, words start to mean less, right? Eventually, and I think right now we're reaching a point where words just don't mean stuff.
Yeah, Chernobyl also on HBO also said this well, and that, like, I think that I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something like with every lie incurs a debt to the truth.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, whether you like it or not, like, the truth is coming, and the truth is going to come and collect on that debt. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but eventually it does. I don't want to, again, this is not, like, Lakers news is not as serious as the Russian government trying to cover up a nuclear disaster.
Or Jon Snow trying to stop everybody from dying from the Night King.
Yes, but, like, you know, close. Like, this last year has basically been the sports equivalent of a nuclear disaster. And to go back to where you started, I just want to say, like, I consider silver screening role and good aggregation in general. It should be sort of, especially when it's about a specific team, it should be sort of like a pasta strainer where you throw the water and the pasta in there. And, like, if you're a Laker fan, like, Lakers news is just the pasta. And so once it goes through there, all that's left is the Lakers news. You can look at that and become as informed as possible on whatever particular subject that you're interested in, but you aren't getting all the other stuff. And, like, we're filtering it for you. But, like, that is not the same as how social media algorithms filter stuff for you. And in a lot of cases, and again, I'm not going to claim that, like, we're constantly, you know, like, that we have never made a mistake.
I don't want to come off as holier than thou.
No. It's not holier than that. Like, that's not how I mean that we've never made a mistake in something that we've covered or that we only object directly
to the real story. We've written refutations to our own stuff.
Yeah. And I'm just saying that social media is, like, there is no human behind it other than you and, like, an algorithm in a lot of cases. But in a lot of cases, like Twitter, it's just who you choose to follow. And the way that I think social media has damaged the discourse is it's made it's so much easier for people to decide what they like hearing and what makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And if they see something that they don't like or that doesn't make them feel good, they go, fake news. I don't like biased journalism narratives.
Right. Narratives.
And twist things in whatever way they want and find other people that think the same way that they do. And it's damaged all of us exponentially.
Yeah. And again, like you said, I'm not claiming to be above that. I've done it myself. I've done it myself. Where it's just human nature, right? We are all fallible. The reason we're talking about this is because, like, right now there's this giant attack on somebody like Adrian Wojnarowski, right? Who has for the vast majority, like, the reason he has this entire news empire to himself, the reason he has access to.
The reason they're called Woj bombs.
Yeah,
news breaks from anyone.
Right, like he is synonymous with breaking NBA news, and yet right now for some reason there's this attack on him from Laker fans who are now convinced that he, and hell, even by extension, ESPN, somebody apparently in my mentions thought today that the reason LeVar Ball is finally off of their airways is because he can't damage the Lakers specifically, right? Which is fucking bananas, guy. Come on. I'm the guy who wears...
ESPN wants to damage the Lakers brand because it's so much better for them when the Lakers are bad than if they were good.
Right.
Again, people don't always believe me when I say this, but I can tell you that metrically, positive stories do a lot better than negative stories. And don't you think that they would like it if they could tell Lakers? And again, I'm not going to defend every single person at ESPN. There are some people that I think are hot take artists that can flip anything to be a negative or take anything. Like, they have their angles and they have their, like, this is how I talk about this subject. This is how I feel about this player. And that's what I'm going to say about them. There's nothing they can do to change that. And there are people that do that. Woj is a newsbreaker, and I think that what people have gotten tripped up on, I saw Pete make this point yesterday on Twitter, is that he is, these weren't Pete's words, but in my mind, Woj is the best in the world at breaking transactions. There is, like, basically across almost any sport, across really any medium, he is, like, batting almost, like, if not 100%, probably 99 to 98%.
On actual, on breaking actual news.
Breaking maybe news.
Maybe the lead up takes detours and stuff like that, but the transaction, the actual news, he's 100.
But that, the thing to keep in mind there is no one is 100%, number one, in reporting on the lead up, because you're only as good as your sources are telling you. And until something is fact and it has happened, no one is 100% on what their sources are telling them. That's like you do the information as best you can, but no one is ever going to bat 100% there, just because things can change until pen's been put to paper, or, you know, transactions have been forwarded to the NBA or whatever it may be. That kind of stuff can happen. The lead up to it, though, is like, there's a difference between reporting in the lead up to it, and there's a difference between kind of giving your opinion, but like, it's based on, I call it specuporting, or like informed analysis is another way to look at it. And it's you kind of giving your opinion. It's you can really catch this because you'll hear them saying, I think. You'll hear them giving reasons for the way that they feel that way.
Or you won't hear them say, I'm hearing. That you
league sources are telling me,
right,
or something like that. Like, in those cases, unless they're stating it as definitive fact. I know one of the things that ironically tripped this off yesterday was, it was Woj talking about Kawhi Leonard on TV. And to me, I think you and I had very different readings of this.
Let's take a quick second here. We're talking about Kawhi Leonard wanting to either go to the Clippers or go to the Raptors, or maybe not even taking a meeting with the Lakers. We're going to come back and talk about the subject because, again, it's a launching pad for everything. And what's ironic here is that you and I actually disagreed on this, which is funny, which is, again, aren't fallible. So take a quick second. When we come back, we're going to keep on talking about this. And before we go on, I understand that this is very inside baseball. You know, I understand that this is absolutely in the reeds, right? We are trampling through the woods, trying to figure out the truth within all this stuff. And I it's important to me. And one of the things, the nice things of being blessed with a platform is that you get to talk about things that are important to you if it improves the entire conversation around this stuff. And I think the better that we get at understanding the task of being news literate, being media literate, the better we all are moving forward as these conversations continue. Because it isn't like when this Anthony Davis trade is over, we're just going to stop hearing, we're going to stop taking news in the same way that we are right now, right? It's going to be the next story and the next process that leads up to the transaction, right? So the better that we get at this, the better we all are as people. And if I can do in some way, shape, or form, if I can tweak that just a little bit, I'm going to try to do it.
Yeah, and so I think that this kind of takes us back to the Kawhi thing from yesterday. It's like he was saying, to me, it sounded like he was saying, he was laying out facts. And he was saying things, very definitively. There was no, I think, or, you know, like maybe, or you wouldn't think that Kawhi would want X, Y, and Z, or whatever. Right. There was, he was stating them as if they were facts. So I took that as reporting. I know that you felt like because he was giving reasoning that maybe it wasn't as reporting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. We can't know.
We don't know.
Because Woj is not on this podcast. We don't know. But the thing to me, I think, is that there is, and again, I don't want to come across as if I'm talking down to people, but I think that sometimes people take it, like, because someone is an insider, if they give their opinion on something, a lot of the time people are like, oh, well, Woj is just, like, he always reports negative things about the Lakers. That's not reporting. And when we say report, or when we're talking about someone's credibility as a newsbreaker or whatever, those are not the things that we're talking about.
Right.
I understand that Woj has said some negative things about the Lakers, and that their
that's how he's operated. Like that, yes. That's how he's gained access. Like that's part of his process. Unfortunately, you know, and this is kind of the point that Pete was making, right? Is that when you hear him talking up somebody, that's his way of potentially gaining access with that person, right? Or with that organization.
And to be fair, that's true of almost
everybody.
Not everybody. I'm not going to say, I don't want to start like compiling a list or whatever of what, but like that is true of a lot of insiders, and you can spot it if you're looking for it. Yeah. And it's usually like promising young assistant coach or assistant GM is really going to be a candidate for a lot of jobs.
People who still call Carmelo Anthony an all-star.
Yeah, it's like how do we know that like this is what evidence do we have that this assistant GM or this assistant coach is so promising? Like that's a live read.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right.
So
but back to Kawhi.
Yes.
But back to Kawhi. So one of the things that you and I were talking about in Slack, right? We were deciding whether or not we were going to run with it with Silver Screen and Roll. And the thing, and I wound up writing it, right? Because I thought I wanted to add my context to it. Now, again, this is now, and this is where we get into some trouble, right? Is now it's a report that might not be a report. And I, as the writer, am now writing my reading of said report, right?
And now, and that's just something that we try to do at Silver Screen and Roll that I not every site does, because we want you to know when we are like not sure that something is legit. We're like, here's this thing that people are talking about it, but here's how we can educate about what is going into this or whatever. Like last night I wrote about the Lakers. There was a report that the Lakers were interested in Bobby Portis. And I just looked at it logically. Bobby Portis makes no sense for the Lakers as currently constructed. But if you look at the report, and again, I'm not saying that this for sure came from his agent, but this is generally how these things go. You look at the report, it's not a Lakers, someone who traditionally breaks news on the Lakers that was breaking it. And they listed, they just gave a list of teams that were supposedly interested in Bobby Portis. Who would know that, Anthony?
Is it Bobby?
Yeah, well, him, maybe, but that would actually be flagrant tampering if he didn't know. And, like, all these teams were just texting Bobby Portis directly.
We
like,
want
That would be the lamest tampering fine in NBA history. Can you imagine if you got dinged for tampering with Bobby Portis?
That's how Magic would get dinged for tampering.
But these teams...
I'm tampering!
These agents, they talk with teams that their clients are employed by in the best, in the most legal of situations. And like, so, you know, they talk with these teams that they have clients with. And like, they're, you know, if Bobby Portis happens to come up, or if this team says, yeah, you know, like, we're really going to be looking for a power forward this offseason, you know, and they're talking to whatever. These things get talked about well before free agency. But like, my read on that was like, this is coming from Bobby Portis's agent. We see agents connect their clients to the Lakers throughout human history. This is as old as media, basically. Is when you want to get your client paid, you list the Lakers somewhere in there, and then everyone's like, oh, well, we can't let that guy go to the Lakers. We gotta pony up and make sure that he doesn't go.
Also, it generates the most traffic for that client. So
it's also that is also a cynical but probably somewhat accurate in some cases.
Me cynical? What?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm gonna bias is on the table. I'm a journalist here, or I try to be some mix of one and a blogger and whatever. I think I'm a little different than your traditional journalist, but I like to believe the best about media, and I will admit that. And there are bad actors out there. I do not think that Adrian Wojnarowski is a bad actor.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of all this is look, and hell, if you guys have questions about it, let me know. You know, like, let it rip. Ask me on, you can find me on Twitter. Well, if I haven't muted you already, but ask me on Twitter.
Speaking of segmenting our feeds for only people that agree with us.
Well, it's not so much agreeing with me. It's being called an asshole and
yeah, no. I mean, I block.
That's where I usually go. Yeah. That's where I mute. But
it's weird.
But if you have a question,
attacks on you. But
if you have a question, hit me up at Anthony Irwin LA. Ask me, hey, what does this feel like? What does this sound like? Is this reporting? And you know, we tried to outline what you tend to look for in those kinds of moments, right? If he's talking about, I am hearing, league sources tell me, a team source tells me, team
sources.
You can
pretty much take that to the bank.
Yeah, that's
a report. But, like, if he's just saying here, like, if they're just asking him, like, where do you think Kawhi Leonard is going to go? And he's like, well, definitely not to the big bad Lakers.
Right.
Like, they're evil.
Right. You know? And look, as we said, there are moments where his analysis tends to lean against the Lakers, right? Because maybe they aren't giving him the same access, right? Maybe. I'm not saying that's definitely the case. Woj, please don't block me again. That was a tough way to try to break news. But that's how these things usually go, especially in his past. Like, that was, remember the way he wrote, somebody retweeted an article earlier today about how he was saying that LeBron was never going to feel a title as wholesome as Dirk's was against him, right? Like, that was the thing he wrote back at Yahoo.
Especially when he was at Yahoo,
yeah.
His column was a weapon. And yeah. I think the ESPN, if you notice, he doesn't write columns since he went to ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I don't know the reasoning for this. My guess would be that they saw that as somewhat of an ethical conundrum to have
also,
like their biggest
like the,
newsbreaker
it's
writing.
It's not the most efficient use of his time.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But
I mean,
anyway.
I don't know. If it was me, I would not want somebody that was like, generally in journalism school, they talk about opinion and breaking news are two separate fields. And if you're going to write your opinion, you're generally not on that beat as a newsbreaker, because if you're just writing breaking news, you just want people to talk to you. And
yeah.
generally writing negative things about people does not work as a way to get them to talk to you.
Right.
And
somehow
so you just write what is,
yeah.
you know, and so you're being fair to every, you're as fair as possible to everybody.
Yep.
And so I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another quick second here. We went a little bit longer on that subject, and I promise we're going to make it up for you with some juicy, juicy Anthony Davis talk here in a bit.
Can I just real quick, I just want to say, before we go to the next segment, that, like, I
it's
going to
be even juicier now, by the way.
I understand that fans are, like, get upset when people report negative things about their team. That is fandom. It is not always rational.
Yeah.
And you want your team, you want to believe that your team is full of
it's
rational
like
actors.
The character you root for.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally understand that. And, like, you get tired. There is a fatigue that comes with hearing negative things about your team. And I don't deny that there are people that have tilted, that have skewed the way that the Lakers are analyzed, like, including some that are sitting on this podcast, the way that they analyze various Lakers moves in a negative light because they don't like the way that it went down, or they don't like something about it, or whatever it may be. And, again, I'm not saying that that's unfair for them to do that, but I understand how you're going to be more like, the next time they're like report a fact, you're like, well, that guy just hates the Lakers,
right?
And it's like, those are two different things.
Yeah.
To think that, like, you know, it's one thing ESPN can write about the Lakers and all that terrible stuff that was going on there. It doesn't mean that ESPN wants to drive the Lakers into the ground or see them fail or whatever.
They're corporate partners.
Yeah, well, and they're reporting the news, and they're corporate partners on, like, multiple levels, through the league,
yeah.
through ESPN LA,
radio.
Through all this stuff. Like, they're not trying to bring – it is in no one's best interest for the Lakers to be brought down. It is in their best interest to be held to account. And I think that if you're a fan, you should want people pointing out the things that
yes.
your team does wrong.
That's
I understand not liking to hear when people are constantly being negative, and it's just opinion. It's just like, well, like the late – man, Matt, like, let's all laugh at the Lakers for
hey,
not knowing this.
Shut up,
like,
dude. This is my
thing.
Brand.
For not knowing this cap thing when they have LeBron and Anthony Davis and still might be able to figure out a way to like to say that the Lakers are a failure in that sense, you don't know what's going to happen.
All right, we're going to go to break.
I'm just saying. Like, I can understand how
we're
going to
talk about this on the other side of the break. I promise. We're going to talk about this on the other side of the break.
This is not the Oscars. I will not be played off.
My throat hurts from clearing.
I'm just gonna. All I'm saying, I guess, to bring my point home, it's like I understand why, as a fan, you're like, I get to watch LeBron and Anthony Davis and maybe one other star next year. Stop telling me how screwed the Lakers are. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Why you wouldn't want to hear that stuff anymore. And so, like, that's what I'm trying to empathize with and, like, the point that I'm coming at it from. But at the same time, you can't disregard any news about the team that is not positive because you're tired of hearing negative opinions and you're tired of people trolling you online
mm-hmm.
and you're tired of the bloggerati trolling you for clout. Like, I totally... get the fatigue with all of that stuff, and that's why I'm
you
here to call Anthony out
all of that
on
stuff
all of
with
it.
Anthony Irwin Owen. Like, you could have,
yeah,
you
know,
all right.
You don't pay me for this podcast anymore. I get to come on here and just trash you if I want.
You can. No, sometimes I deserve it. I'll cop to it. Sometimes I deserve it. That sometimes the negativity can run a little rampant. A lot of that is because, like, when I say a negative thing and I get person after person after person calling me an asshole or a liar or a fibber or what is it, a clout chaser? Is that the big thing with the kids nowadays?
Yeah. Like,
that's not me. I don't – honestly, the other day I was thinking about deactivating my Twitter. I don't want
to. No, I was just telling somebody this the other day. Like, as annoyed as I get with Anthony's negativity sometimes – and, like, I'm actually a naturally very pessimistic person. It manifests itself less in sports, but, like, when – and in my writing and stuff. But in life, I am a very pessimistic mm-hmm. person, so I get it. But, like, Anthony is not doing this stuff – like, because he's like, well, I bet if I, like, crap on the Lakers again that yeah. people are going to, like, retweet me or whatever. Like, I this is going to get a lot of engagement. Like, no. You don't care about that at all. Like, this is your – for better or worse, this is your personality and who you yeah, are.
I know. Jen married it.
I am astounded every single time I interact with her. I just keep waiting for, like, something to be wrong, you know? Like, for a deep character flaw to reveal itself.
I'm the character flaw. Like, that's I guess the –
she has terrible taste in men.
All right. So case in point, though, of me – now, there's a difference here. Analyzing the situation, one of the things that I did, especially last night, was I just poked around a little bit. And I found in poking around a little bit that it appears that Rob Pelinka and the Lakers just messed up. Like this trade execution date, they just messed up. That's all it was that they overlooked this detail, and now they are trying to make up for their mistake, right? By including additional assets so that they can open up this cap space and they can convince the Pelicans to work with them to do so, right? That's not – now, again, this isn't me saying that is definitely 100% what it is, right?
That was a because, nice attempt to avoid another four source gate on Lakers podcast.
I don't want to be – what is it? Oh, yeah. I'm going full Windhorse. Aggregators, don't aggregate – I'm looking in the mirror. Don't aggregate yourself. But – that doesn't sound good. But –
you do that too much, you go blind.
So I'm not saying that is definitely what it is, but based on my reading of not only the people that I spoke to, and then on top of that, other reporters who are writing about this, Howard Beck most notably just wrote about this, right, and said that the Lakers have not broached the subject with Davis on waiving his trade kicker, and you know, according to Howard Beck on this, they seemingly just bungled this detail, right?
Did he say? I don't think he reported that. I think somebody misaccurately aggregated.
No. It wasn't that's what I'm saying. Like, there's. So he reported.
He reported the trade thing.
Yeah, he reported the trade thing, but he said they seemingly, meaning, which is
seemingly analysis. Again, that's important analysis. Word. Yeah. Going back to our last, seemingly just means like that is what it seems.
Yeah, that's what it appears to be. Right.
Yes.
And that's the same thing that I'm saying, right? It appears as of right now that they seem to have bungled this situation just based on the people that I've spoken to and all of this entire read of the situation right now. That can change. We get more information and that can change. But that's kind of where we're at right now. And you said you had a take on the trade kicker itself. And an important detail here that needs to be pointed out is how could they broach this with Anthony Davis, seeing as he is still technically a New Orleans Pelican?
Well, they have a very good relationship with his agent, who they seemingly worked well with, and would seemingly have an idea from his agent, at least, whether or not that was – but at the same time, why would they broach this with him yet? They don't know if they can use that cap space yet. Right. You wouldn't think. They wouldn't have –
tampering, which they would never do.
Ever. No team does it. That's how Al Horford has already opted out of his deal and is reportedly expected to get $100 million. And Kyrie is basically – everybody's just like, yeah, he's going to Brooklyn. You know, we aren't even going to pretend anymore that there's this moratorium that exists.
Yeah.
So why would they ask him to waive that yet? And because they don't know that they need that space just yet. Mm-hmm. And like for Anthony Davis, there's no incentive. I talked about this on the Silver Screen Roll podcast yesterday, but there's no incentive for him to just say, here, let me give you this money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I'm just not, ask you're not Dirk. Going to Europe.
That doesn't work out very well.
yeah, you're not going to your employer and being like, you know what, I really need some help at the podcast. Do you think that if I give you back, you know, 15% of my salary, you could maybe get me some help? No, you'd want to know that you're definitely getting some help. You know what I mean?
No, and I mean, so, like, I didn't go when I was deciding to bring Pete on here more often, right? I didn't go to David and be like, hey, here's X percent of what I was making before. Can you try to convince Pete to do this? No, I foregoed that percentage for went. Is it for went? Forego? To, like, the past tense of forego.
For went sounds right.
For went, I guess, yeah. But I forewent that percentage to talk directly to Pete and ask him, hey, would you be interested in doing this, right? And that's where the Lakers would be with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, there's no incentive for Davis to give that up right now either. I don't – to go back to your part about, like, them just bungling this cap detail, I don't know that yet. My best guess – how it would seemingly to me, it would seem that they may have, even though, like I've said, I'm pretty sure that Rob Pelinka knew about this date, just like knowing what we know about his resume and as like coming in as supposed to be this cap specialist.
Yeah, he's never effed up a minor detail before, ever.
He managed the books pretty well last summer, like as far as just like creating the most salary cap space possible. I'm not talking about the signings and the names. I'm just talking about in terms of creating the most salary cap space.
Yeah.
Possible, but like
he gave Magic the most tools he could have had to screw up the rosters, but as well as he did,
he gave him the biggest blowtorch.
Yeah.
The thing that makes it seem to me as if they may have misunderstood it is that like that's how you end up with a gap between like you have like 24/7 sports, and this is no disrespect on that outlet or anything like that, but they are not traditionally breaking the biggest story about the Lakers in of the month, at least, if not of the year.
Yeah.
And like there a gulf between them saying sources saying this is a done deal and the cap stuff has already been figured out and this is all going to happen. And here's the, and I'm not disputing any of the cap stuff. All that cap math works. Been told I'm not a cap expert, but all the cap math that they did works. The sourcing, I'm not discrediting their sourcing, but I'm just saying that's how you end up with a gap between they are saying that this is done and no other national newsbreaker is saying this is set in stone. They are saying things like this is still the Lakers are trying to make this happen. And like, you know, they're probably getting their information from different parties there. There can be gaps in sourcing that make up that difference. And I have no doubt that these people are being told these two separate things. It's just meaningful to me that the major national newsbreakers are not being told this is fine. Don't worry about it. It's all done. To the point where they're reporting it as such. And maybe some of that misunderstanding is just that, like, the deal isn't done yet. They're still trying to figure out. Maybe they've agreed with the Pelicans that the Pelicans are okay making this a three-teamer, and the Lakers just have to find that team to make it a third team. Maybe they're seeing if there are any biters on the number four pick, and they can make it work that way. Maybe because those details are up in the air, that it's not being reported as, like, they have this understanding. I don't know. But there's, like, clearly a gap between those two stories.
And look, that's what Eric talked about on yesterday's show, that until we get the full story, there are going to be gaps. And so it's just a matter of how you're going to fill those gaps with the information that you have in front of you, right? That's kind of where we're at, where the vast majority of people are saying that the Lakers are currently working on this. Now, you know, there appears to be a disconnect between the Lakers are working on this now and they just now started on working on it, right? That's a which if you are rolling with their read of that situation, you can kind of say, okay, well, maybe they learned new information and now they're working to get the extra pieces of the deal done, right? Which is exciting in its own right, right? It could there are just so many situations here, and that's where I get a little uncomfortable to put my foot down definitively and say, like, okay, yeah, this is the situation, because we don't
know. That's the thing about judging the deal is the deal's not fully done, it would seem. Yeah. And so it's hard to judge this as, like, it's obviously a good thing regardless that the Lakers got Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
It's just how good of a deal was it? It seems that we don't know yet. And like, that's the hardest thing about evaluating it. Well, no, I mean, if they also free up the max cap space,
Yeah.
It's still good. It's as good of a deal as possible, I would say. Yeah. Even though they gave up a lot, but if you're also clearing a max cap room and you get either that guy or you get two big name role players or three or whatever it may be, that's as good of a deal as you could have made.
Yeah, but we don't know that that's actually the case.
That's what I mean. So, like, yeah. There's somewhere, like...
Like, I'm not, like, a lot of people are willing to jump to calling it a good deal. I'm the only
you
negative
don't think it's a good deal. If they don't clear max cap space, you don't feel like it's a good deal still.
No, because they haven't done what they told us they were going to do in the first place.
I guess that's a fair, that's actually probably your fairest criticism of this.
Thanks. Let's move on really quickly. We have like 5 minutes left here. I want to just quickly we'll get to the Magic Johnson note thing because that deserves more time than 5 minutes. There was a report just recently. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer says that the Lakers are apparently interested in Al Horford, though they have their sights set first on Kawhi Leonard. Is this a hot take? I don't want Al Horford on the Lakers, like, at all. Like, it's not now. If like you get him for the proper price, but the deal right now that's reported out there is that it's a 4-year, $100 million deal. I don't want to pay 33-year-old Al Horford $25 million when you already have a center on the team and Anthony Davis and a power forward on the team and LeBron James, who are both better than Al Horford.
If it was still Jim Buss in charge, I would be like, I would have seen that leak last night and been like, oh, God, it's definitely the Lakers paying him, isn't it?
It's Mozgov all over
again. We haven't seen this team massively overpay someone. Yeah. If anything, we've seen them try to underpay people frequently. So that would seem to assuage, I would think, some of your concerns.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's that hot of a take, only in the sense that, like, my counterpoint, I guess, would be that Al Horford – could at least play center more. Like, Anthony Davis is not going to be the full-time center on this team. And so they fit in that sense. I do not think that that's the best allocation of assets, which is what I tried to get it at with the Portis thing. Horford's obviously a better player than Portis, but it's like a guy that isn't a full-time center, and you already have guys that are at their best at center and power forward and in the front court. That's where all of your resources are right now.
Yeah.
They really should be targeting wings and guards, I would think, with that cap space, which, you know, if O'Connor's report is correct, and we should note, throw it back to earlier in the podcast, it was a list of teams that are very interested in Al Horford, so... Yep. One can only wonder where that is coming from.
At least now he's a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. Although there are reports that, like, he discovered that the market was pretty great and then opted out of that deal. Which, that's an agent doing their job, but it's just funny that, like, there's this cognitive dissonance of, like, this is illegal under the cap, and they aren't allowed to, and everybody just kind of acknowledges, but, like, yeah, but everybody does it, you know?
I would rather spend the money, before I pay Al Horford a max or $25 million a year, before I do that, I would first spread the money across the roster and even out the roster a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, they could bring Luol Deng back. He'd be a good fit on the I don't think they legally can, but that, can you imagine how, and he's not a good fit anyway, but like,
if they resign that, like, offset the $5 million that are on the cap anyway.
They have him come back and play for that $5 million anyway.
If he's just a free agent, I guess, you know, he could be an intern.
That's funny, he'd have anybody.
The last thing I want to talk about here. And then also I'm not reporting this, but it's a pretty strong read of the situation, I think, that if J.R. Smith and if Kyle Korver, especially the latter here, if Kyle Korver is a free agent as a result of this deal between the Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies, we can probably get ready to see
the action. I feel like Kyle Korver, we can put hashtag future Laker on him with, like, as much certainty as we ever get to.
Yeah.
Get Grant on the Photoshop.
Grant's Photoshop is going to be reality on that one.
Yeah.
Last thing, look, I brought you on here, you know, in part to talk about the media and news literacy thing. It's an important
stupidest storyline that has come into being because we have too much time. Apparently there's too much time for us to fill between the draft and the end of the finals. We can't just, like, all log off and just enjoy our families for a little while. We have to argue about whether or not Woj is a good reporter.
Yeah. I brought you on in small part to do that, but also there's something that we haven't done quite yet. It's one of the most popular subjects on this show and across this show. It's time to laugh at the Boston Celtics. He turned in. Hold on. They had how we were counting second round picks from
they
them.
Had the most lopsided trade of ever. All time. Ever. Like the whole organization lost their job over it. Like they probably fired the cleaning staff.
Bobby Marks is at ESPN because of that trade.
And then the Celtics, they took this like golden goose that they got for like the corpses of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And then they're like, well, like, are we going to throw it at Jimmy Butler when he's available? No, like, should offer them a second round pick and keep Terry Rozier off the table. Like, ooh, like this is going to be good. Should we throw it at Paul George? Like, no, not Paul George. He's not worth it. We have bigger. We're going to go after Anthony Davis. And then
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, they're like, no. I mean, to be fair about Kawhi, there were questions about it. But anyway.
Yeah, that turned out well.
That was a miss. And then it's like, they're like, oh, we're going to, like, don't worry, New Orleans and
yes, this is
Bell Dams. Don't worry. We're going to have a, what was it called, an explosive package ready for
yeah,
you?
It's something
and it's like,
that.
Well, it fucking exploded. And all over everywhere. And like now Kyrie is going to leave and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown probably hate the franchise at this point. Like you had like they wouldn't put these guys on the table after promising that. New Orleans ended up having to deal with the Lakers in spite of like turning down almost essentially the same offer. Yeah.
Del Demps is like, I told you. How angry do you think Del Demps is at Gail Benson? No, we should not wait on Danny Ainge. We know how this ends.
Well, we don't know that he was arguing that. For all we know, he was like, oh, Danny, good point. I could get Jason Tatum from you this offseason. Like,
stop
and then
calling me, man.
Like the Celtics, they save all these assets for Anthony Davis, and then he does it. Like his agent goes on the cover of Sports Illustrated and says he doesn't want to play there.
It's a good thing, Harrison, that they didn't lose Anthony Davis to only their biggest rival.
Well, and it's a good thing that they
rivals in sports.
it's a good thing that they didn't piss off Kyrie Irving and the whole team by trying to force feed Gordon Hayward at the beginning of the season. Hey, but don't worry. They got a max contract guy before. Plenty of Brad Stevens coach players are going to be willing to play there for the max.
Brad Stevens tried to win Gordon Hayward a MAGA MVP. It's incredible. All right. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I enjoy laughing at the Celtics. And look, that's what we're here for. We tried to – it was a heavier subject here. Yesterday's show was pretty information heavy. I tried to lighten it up here, and then tomorrow people will be back, and we will send you guys off into the weekend with when probably I would imagine. Well, hell, tomorrow we'll be talking after the NBA draft. So
and by that point, the Anthony Davis trade will have broken apart, and we'll all just be sitting here like, how does this keep happening?
Yeah, that'd be fun. It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun.
No, it would not. This is not going to be fun.
Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.